everything that we've covered. But we really haven't covered that much. So if you've been taking notes and you've been reading the chapters, you have a good understanding of what we've talked about. Of course, just to kind of help you out, if there's something in the chapter that I told you to read that I did not cover in the exam, I mean in class, it's probably not going to be on the exam. My tests, I make my own, and they're based on what we cover. And what have we covered? The bare bones foundation of our court process, you know, litigation. Focusing on civil matters. We understand the civil process. We've covered that. We've talked about different types of dispute resolution. And I really haven't given you much substantive law. You know, third-party liability, and bystander's rule of obligation, and the exceptions. So if you know the stuff that we've covered, that you've seen, you'll do well. Do you want to gauge?
Yeah.
All right, close up, you know, I got another quiz, so close up all your notebooks. Andrew said yes.
Yeah, we're all jumping Andrew
at
the class.
Come on, close it up, close it up. Now that goes, that reminds me of the conversation we had last class.
Exactly.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Outside the classroom.
Oh yeah, yeah.
All right, do not flip these over. What are on here are five multiple choice questions.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say go.
Oh, shit, my bad.
Wow!
I was always good. I was ready to go.
I know, he gets all excited. He's not. I think I should start taking points away. What do you think? Should I take all his points that he's earned so far and redistribute it to the class?
Yeah, that's good.
Do we want to have a democracy? Do we want to vote?
Fuck no.
Look, he's not your friend. He doesn't want to share his points with you.
Nah.
All right, so what you are going to see on the exam are multiple choice questions, like the ones that you got on this piece of paper. You are going to see some short answer questions, like I'm going to ask you, for instance, I don't know, what's the bystander's rule of obligation? And all you will do is just tell me what the bystander's rule of obligation is. And then you will have some long essays like that last quiz. Probably not as long as that last quiz, but they will be lengthy. And of course, there'll be a huge question in terms of points, 20 points, probably the most valuable question, the most point-heavy question on the quiz, and that will be based on what we're going to cover today, ethics, today and Monday. So that means probably you're going to have your test on Tuesday. So what I'll do with the online portion of the test, actually the whole test is online, is I will open it up in the morning and I'll give you all day to do it. So you're just going to log in at some point that's convenient for you. Because I'm assuming at some point during the day you'll have an hour free or hour and a half, however long it may be. Hold on, I got one more.
What day did you do?
Probably Tuesday. If I had to guess. All right. Make sure you put your names on them. It's going to be timed. So go quickly. I didn't say go. All right, fine, go. God, give me a hard time all the time. That's so literal, man. Five seconds left. No, I'm just kidding.
Shoot.
Thank you. All right, you only got a few seconds left. In fact, I'm going to say 30 seconds left. You don't have time to read it. Randomly pick A, B, C, or D. Just fly through it real quick.
I'm actually doing this.
Are you doing that anyways?
Nice.
Ten seconds left. Make sure your names are on them. Pass them forward. Quick reading. Yeah, his or her. His her. I didn't say whether or not the judge, right? Number two? Oh, fourth for him, her to file his lawsuit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, I'll deal with that one. Go ahead, Mom. Extra points for you, is that what you want? All right, I'll tell you what, I'll mark yours right.
What?
All right, do I have them all? All right, so everything on here are concepts that we covered in class. Like, for instance, a jury, after the trial judge, the jury gives his slash her instructions, the jury's decision. How does the jury reach its decision? What? You gotta project. I cannot hear you when you mumble.
They have to come to a unanimous decision.
No, they do not. That's only in a criminal case.
Shit.
If it's a civil case, it's 10 out of 12. And I never once said the jury needed to be unanimous. How does a jury reach its decisions? They gather in the back room and they kind of talk about what's going on. So it's achieved by informal deliberations. That's in chapter 2, by the way. All right, the one I screwed up in. Bill was involved in the auto accident in Maine. This is diversity of citizenship. We talked about that. Diversity of citizenship. What goes on in a diversity of citizenship case? People from different states. What type of trial? Civil or criminal?
Civil,
so they're suing for money. And what's the minimum amount to be in federal court? $75,000. So because this is only $28,000, where must it be? State or federal court? State. Which state? Vermont or Maine? Why Maine? That's where it happened. All right, good. Process of elimination. All right, civil suits. What's the burden of proof in civil suits? Does anyone remember what it's called? It's a complicated thing. I told you to memorize this one. If you're going to sue criminally, what must the level of evidence must the prosecution produce? That's not what? No, for criminal, it's beyond a reasonable doubt. For civil, it's by a preponderance of the evidence. By a preponderance of the evidence. What does the word preponderance mean? You might want to G-O-O-O, wait, I said one too many O's. G-O-O-G-L-E-N. Preponderance. All right, jurisdiction. What's jurisdiction? We talked about that as well. What's jurisdiction?
Decision, the place of court.
The place?
The court, yeah. The decision making.
The decision making? Ah, the authority of the court. Authority of the court. So that is, on that one, it's the authority of a court to decide a particular type of case. Because remember what I said when I talked about the different types of trial courts? Each trial court has control jurisdiction over subject matter. And if you do not file in the proper venue, what happens to your case? Did you get your money back?
No.
And last but not least, if you're going to appeal to the Supreme Court, does the Supreme Court have to hear your case?
No.
Do you have an absolute right to a trial?
Yes.
Yes, you do. Do you have an absolute right to an appeal?
No.
No. So that one is the Supreme Court has discretion. See what I did? I gave you all the little seeds, and I just changed the way I expressed it. Go back. All of the recordings are posted. Everything we covered, you should have at your fingertips. And it's not that much. Trust me. We have not covered that much. We've covered the procedural aspects of it. Go back over and see what we've covered and just make sure you know it. You'll be fine. Okay? All right, I'll have those back for you when I see you again. All right, did everyone get their cases back that handed them in the other day?
Which is what I got up here. Amber's not here. Lucas. Because we're going over case number 3. Matt? There's that. And R&D.
Because after all, your homework number 2 is due today.
Yeah, do you put grades in the blackboard?
Oh, yeah. No, I can't put the quizzes in.
No.
But what I'll do is, I've been going to try to figure out how I can let you know where you about stand.
Yeah.
I just haven't figured out how to do it yet. Because with Blackboard, you have to take the quiz or you have to do the work through Blackboard to grade. No, do you?
I don't think so.
No, actually, I might be. There's a lot of grading that goes on in this class, and I do have it on a spreadsheet, but I just, give me some time. All right. Oop. Anthony, you came in. Pass that back to Anthony. All right, so the last case we did not deal with is a good case. And interestingly enough, it happened in Boston. I just gotta find my sheet, though.
Last week?
Now, I'm gonna ask Juliana to go first.
Because I know you did your homework because you sent it to me.
All right. Please stand before the class. So let me see. We did that case. We did that case. We did that case. Yeah, I know. I just got to find where I have it. It's in my notebook somewhere. The elevator case, the second case. What happened there? Yeah.
And then he got trapped in the elevator.
Wait, how did he walked in the elevator and he got trapped? Have you ever been on an elevator before?
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten trapped in an elevator?
No.
Then how do you get trapped in an elevator?
If it stopped working. Or if it's off.
Oh, so it stopped working. Was that the case? It just stopped working? Or did they do something? Sorry, don't mind me. I'm trying to find it.
I forget.
All right, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Hold on there, people. Prof. Manic.com.
Oh, good, the internet's working today. That's always a good thing. Case briefs number 2. Nope, that's not it. We did that one. Ah, Pridgeton v. Boston Housing Authority. Okay. So, kids are screwing around. Now, a question for you. Do kids screw around?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's fun.
Yeah, that's a good reason. Kids entertain themselves because they have fun doing it. And are they really cognizant of the potential dangers of life?
No.
No. Okay. So they're playing around in an elevator. Are they in the elevator itself? In the compartment? Where are they? They got on top. How the hell did they get on top? And why on earth would they go on top of the elevator? You know what it's actually called? Elevator surfing. For real. So they get on top of the elevator to surf. How are the waves that particular day?
Probably
high tide. The high tide crashing pretty hard, yo. You know,
hang loose, bro.
What ended up happening? Fell. Did he fall all the way down to the ground? Where did he fall? Do you know anything about elevators?
No.
No. Are you curious?
Yeah.
All right. Here's how they work, right? This is the part that you've been in, right? This is the passenger compartment. But they are raised and lowered by a geared pulley system, steel cables. And in order for them to go up, there's actually rails that hold the elevator in place. So it's like almost like a train. You know, it goes up nice and neat, it goes down. But you know what is just beyond the rails? The elevator shaft. And there's space in between. So they put the elevator and the rails inside the shaft. But the shaft's not too big. So guess what happened to this kid?
He
fell off and got stuck in the shaft. Now, what happens every time the elevator goes up and down?
Squish.
Okay. Okay, good. Did anyone do anything about it? They just left them to die? Wow, fuck, that's just cold and cruel. Damn. All right, dead kid case over. What would you do if your friend was elevator surfing, fell off said elevator, got stuck in the shaft, and was slowly getting squished?
Ask for help.
All right, ask for help. Now, if you were a kid probably at the age of like 12 or something like that, 13, who would you go and ask help from?
The parents.
Why would you go to mommy and daddy? Because they're responsible, okay. Whose mom did the kid who went to go get help fetch? His mom or his buddy's mom?
His buddy's mom?
Yes, good, you're right. So, the mom of the kid who was getting squished, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right, last question for you. What did she do? Like the employees of the housing authority. Actually, I lied. One last question. Why tell them?
Because they have the authority to turn the elevator off.
Does anybody else have the authority or ability to shut it off? Could you go shut off the elevator?
No.
Why not?
Probably because I don't know how.
It's literally odd.
you think they have that open in public? Why?
Doesn't
they
just turn it off?
Who could?
Anyone?
Anybody. For any reason, right? Yeah. All right, very good. Nicely done. All right, there is a yellow dot. Who has not gotten yellow or red? No, I've covered everybody at least once. Excellent. So I can go back and start over again. Michael! Did you do your homework? All right, excellent. Question. Is there anything that she said that you disagree with? All right. All right, very good. So now let's circle back on this notion of the fact that they went to go talk to the employee, be he the janitor, the custodian, I don't remember his title. But we're going to call him an agent. He's an agent of the housing authority. What does he have sole control over?
Access to the elevator.
So, the access. We're going to make it very simple. We're just going to say he has the key to the box. Without the key, can you get into the box and shut off the panel? No. When approached by Mom, did he shut off the panel? Why?
I don't think he knew what was going on.
Well, if a hysterical woman comes start screaming at you, my baby, he's getting switched. Do something about it.
I don't know why, but he did.
Well, I'll ask you a very simple question. What is the bystander's rule?
He doesn't have any obligation.
Why not?
He didn't create anything.
Did he push the kid down the shaft? Did he tell the kid to elevate a surf? Did he even tell the kid to go on the elevator to begin with? And what happens if you get involved?
If you make it worse, you're liable.
Oh, yeah. So as a general rule, you do not create the harm. You have no duty to render aid, no duty to warn. If you were in that situation, what would you do?
I'm not gonna lie, now that you said it like that, I don't really know. Because if you make it worse, then it's on you.
What happens if you shut it off just as the elevator's right on top of the kid?
Yeah.
You could kill him! And then whose fault is it?
It's your fault.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And would you want to be sued?
Nah.
Anybody in the room want to be sued?
No.
No, I don't blame you. Because what could happen if you were sued?
Lose everything.
Well, you could lose everything. All right, very good. So he says no.
Sorry, does it make any difference that he's an employee?
Well, does it?
Yes.
Yeah, does it?
Yes.
Well, have we covered any exception that might cover this yet?
Yes.
We have? Which exception?
The bar.
All right, anyways. So he just says no. Does he go home?
No.
What happens? Who comes and approaches him?
The mother.
The mother, and he said no to the mother.
Yeah.
Does anyone else approach him later on?
I don't believe so.
Did anyone approach him? Yeah, like we'll just say the fire department. Not the fry department, that's good. Fire department. There we go, fire department. Does he shut it off when the fire department asks?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. And was the kid dead? No. Was the kid harmed?
Yes.
Okay, very good, very good. Now let me just look at what happened during Mrs. Pridgeton identified the man in the courtroom. So identified, oh, Bill.
Oh, the agent's name is Bill. That's a good thing to know. Make it simple.
Bill has one less letter than agent. And he was janitor of maintenance and the soul. Okay. How much did you get into the trial?
A little bit.
All right. So what it says here is the judge allowed two counts alleging negligence on the part of the authority to go to the jury. However, By his instructions, he limited the jury to consideration and determination whether the authority was guilty of negligence by reason of anything which it or its agents did or failed to do after learning that Joseph had slipped. All right. Negligence. What is negligence? You haven't gone through the specific rule yet. We will. But generally speaking, if you're going to be found responsible for negligence, what does that mean?
You didn't do something you were supposed to?
You had to make it real simple. Essentially, you didn't do something that you should have done. Okay. So, did the company commit the negligence? Who committed the negligence? He did. Did he make the harm? Did he contribute to the harm? He didn't contribute to the harm. You don't think the kid got hurt more being in there? It's going up and down, up and down. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. What did the trial do? Oh, the jury found the authority guilty of negligence in the amount of $175,000. Now, what year was this case? That's a lot of money. 1960s. $175,000. And one for the mom. Oh, but the two verdicts on the leave were reserved. And then the judge Janoffed it. What's Janoff?
Changed the decision.
Okay. Question. When is Janoff proper?
If the trial judge disagrees with the jury verdict?
Again, this is where we have to get precise. So summary judgment, where is it? When are all these in-trial motions proper? Is it just because the judge disagreed with the jury's findings? Is that enough to justify Janoff?
If there was like a mistake during the process that the judge made?
It could have been a judge-made error. It could have been a jury. Well, that's what's going to get you the appeal. So the issue is this. Was the judge's use of Janoff to set aside the money, was that proper? Do you think, question, do you think that 90% of juries would find the fact that Bill chose to do nothing when asked by the mother as being the sole basis for negligence, and thus establishing liability? You think most people would?
Yes.
Why?
I think that's a reasonable conclusion.
Okay, I agree with you. Yeah. But why?
Because he didn't help.
Did he put the kid in harm's way? But did he lift a finger the moment he found out? Could he have?
Yes.
He could have. Now, here is the moral component. Should he have? Why? He's an employee. So if he was to say, I don't want to get involved, does anyone else have the ability to get involved? Is this not just like that 911 call that we covered before? He could have done something that was minimal. He didn't have to climb in the shaft. He didn't have to go save the kid. How much effort does it take to unlock a panel, flick a switch? But did he choose to do it when presented the opportunity? No, he did not. Is that sufficient for damages?
For damages?
Yes.
Yeah.
So was the judge's use of Janoff proper?
Yes.
You still think so?
Yeah.
The judge should have thrown aside the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because the reason he threw it aside was because they couldn't actually sue them. Because they were a government agency, and they were performing a duty for the public, which was the elevator. So they didn't actually have the right to sue them.
You can't sue the government?
At the time, they couldn't sue any government agencies.
Oh.
The Boston Housing Authority was.
Is that true? Did anyone, research that? I don't remember that particular nugget, but if that's true, that's a good nugget.
Yeah. But they couldn't, they couldn't sue the Boston Housing Authority because they're a government agency. So that was the main reason he,
That's the main reason why he did the J-Nug. Yeah. Did the appeals court uphold it?
Yeah, the Massachusetts Supreme Court.
The SJC upheld the decision? Wow, damn, that's harsh. That's real harsh, yeah? Poor kid got nothing. So, is there a lesson to be learned? Don't do stupid shit on government property, because, man, wow. Thank you. Does anyone disagree? Well, alrighty then. Excellent. Now I'll take all the cases.
What if he was in doubt that if you were to stop the elevator, that it would cause more harm?
Apparently, the way the SJC ended up ruling on this case, they didn't care.
Shit.
Talk about you do stupid stuff, you gotta suffer the consequences. Wow, that's brutal. Now, by the way, in today's modern society, I have a feeling that the outcome would be a little different.
Would that be called like a sovereign immunity
rule? Yeah, so that's a sovereign immunity rule, yeah.
I think I did read that on this case and I
think that was cool. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's messed up. That's messed up.
Did they go back and see the sovereign immunity rule? In
the 60s, I doubt they would go back and attempt to kill it. In modern court, maybe. But back then, I don't know. Wow, that's brutal. Brutal. All right, let me see. Ethics. Let's see if I can put this on the screen so that way you can see it. Control. Wait. Zoom. So what we're going to do is we're going to get the last component. If I can get it to do what I want it to do. Perfect. There we go. Start off by having you read something. This is a real case, by the way. This one took place in England. But don't forget, our court system comes from the English Common Law System. All right, can you read it? Oh, look at all these typos. This is awful. Oh, and I can't change it either. Nico, did you finish it? Did you read it all the way through?
Yeah.
All right. So, you're out at sea, right? Possibly engaged in a situation of the survival of the fittest. If you kill someone intentionally, What does the law refer that at to as?
Murder. Right? Murder.
That's the intentional killing of another human being with malice aforethought. In other words, you meant to do it. Was there a human being killed?
Yeah.
Was it planned out?
Yeah.
Was there malice aforethought? Intent. All right. But did you know you can get away with murder? That there's actually, for every charge, there is a defense. So if someone's going to attack you, what are you allowed to do? You could defend yourself. Is this a situation of self-defense? No, the little kid was not attacking the adults, so therefore you can't use self-defense. But you want to know another interesting nugget that's in the law? Necessity. An act needed to be undertaken for the greater good. Was this, in your opinion, a necessity? You're lost in the ocean. By the way, 1884, no cell phones, no electronic communications, no GPS. They probably were on a sailboat. They're in a little dinghy. They're lost at sea. What would you do to survive?
I don't know. That's a crazy situation.
It is a crazy situation. And God help you if you're ever in a situation where you have to make that decision. But don't laugh. That's not a decision I would ever want to make. Because I can tell you already what I would do. I don't know if I could live with myself, but I would do anything to survive. So they killed him, and then they ate him. Oh, what about the conscious objector? Oh no, we can't kill him. Oh. Yeah, I don't want to kill him, but give me some of that. Yeah, exactly. Now, here's the interesting thing. They had been at sea, all right, for 20 days, and then they ran out of food. As it turned out, they were rescued 4 days after the killing. Was the rescue foreseeable? Okay. What?
Your math was up.
Yeah,
what
I just reminded me.
What?
Your math was up. But I just feel like if the rescue wasn't foreseeable, then I guess it's safe to say that they thought.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I was off on that.
They thought they were all going to die anyway, so it's like.
No, I wasn't wrong. So over the next four days. They talked about it. They went hungry for a few days, and then they killed them, and then for the next 4 days they ate. And then they were rescued.
So they only ate for 4 days?
Yeah.
Okay. Damn.
How do you do that?
How do you do what?
How do you eat without... Did they cook them? Or?
No.
Damn. Like how they just...
That's what I'm saying.
How do you do that?
They probably had some type of tool. Chunk of metal. Something.
It was raw?
Yeah.
Right.
Have you ever been lost at sea for a month? I don't know. Well, here's the interesting thing. I'll give you the findings down below. So, this was actually a trial. This was a case. And the court basically said, okay, if they didn't eat, they probably would have died. Okay? And survival of the fittest. Because the boy had already basically passed out. He probably was going to die first anyways, and there was no other way to survive other than consuming the flesh of one of your mates. But, is this a necessity to justify the killing of another. Interestingly enough, you go back through the law systems of every single civilization that has ever existed throughout time, with the exception of some in Central and South Africa, America. African civilizations, Greek, Roman, Chinese, Hindu, they all regard cannibalism as one of the greatest sins imaginable. But killing to eat, that's even worse. So here's the weird thing. They were sentenced to death by the court, committing murder. But of course, they had their sentences commuted by the queen. But had they waited until the kid died, could they have been charged with murder? No. There never would have been a case. Bizarre, huh?
So what if they just like said he passed out and he died on the boat?
Well, one of them ratted the other two out. I wonder who it was. Alright, so here's a what if. Change the scenario. Don't make it individuals killing and eating another one. What if it was a business engaged in corporate takeover? Is it fucked up? Really? Do you know that happens everywhere on Earth just about every single day? You have corporate takeovers. One business buys another business and consumes it. Consumes its stock, consumes its employees, consumes its office space, consumes its work product. Happens every single day. Is there a problem with that?
No, it's not death, though.
Oh, absolutely. There are actually companies that specialize in corporate takeovers. Former state governor, former senator to Utah after he became a carpetbagger, Mitt Romney. That's how he made all his money. He worked for a company called Bain. And Bain was a corporate entity who basically worked and took over companies and basically shat them out. All for profit. And there's nothing illegal about it. But if you kill a human being to eat them to stay alive, well. Interesting, right? Interesting. All right. Here's another hypothetical. Whoa, what did I do? Go back to here. Go back up. Oh, I can't even do that. Oh, I hate that they don't have a full version on here. Well, it makes it so easy to, so difficult to maneuver. All right, there we go. Hypothetical number one.
With the business, it's not the same, though, because they're not killing people. Right?
Well, I thought we said we treated businesses like businesses like people under the law.
Yeah, but just because they take over another business, the people are still...
They're eating it, they're consuming it. It's the same basic process to survive.
It's not death, though.
It's the death of the business.
It's not the same as life.
People still can get a job.
Usually, what happens.
For sure, yeah.
You think if a new company takes over a company, all the people that once worked there keeps their jobs?
Well, some might.
It's not very few, usually.
It all depends on the situation. It's not death, I feel like. It's not the same.
It's death of the entity.
Yeah.
The entity ceases to exist.
Not all right.
So you have no problem with it.
Not as much as killing somebody.
Oh, I thought you were saying you were okay with eating a little kid.
No, yeah, I'm fine with that.
I was going to say, I'm not hanging around with you at a bowl.
No, yeah, that's that, of course I'm fine with that.
All right, look at this. Read this one. Oh, you can't go all the way over? Yeah, I see it. Oh, I can. How about this one?
You commit armed robbery.
So you can get medicine, so you will not die.
Is this guy a hero for being Robin Hood? Or he's in a villain who should be sentenced to Old Sparky and get electrocuted? Because here's the question. What would happen if a majority of people in society did things like this? Is there anyone in this room that does not think he is a criminal? I just want to know your thoughts. No. You don't think he's a criminal?
No, I do think.
Oh, is there anyone who does not think he's a criminal? Thinks his actions were justified? Again, think of the rule of necessity.
I think he's, you know, a little foolish for, like, threatening to detonate a bomb, but I was going to come to the imposing of threat.
If you engage in that type of threat, that you are going to do harm, that is actually a crime.
It's against the law.
It's against the law.
By the way, you know what the punishment is in Massachusetts? 60 to 90 months in prison plus 2 years probation.
For bank robbery?
For bank robbery, yeah.
It's not bad.
Well, here's the irony. If this was a real situation, what could he get in prison?
Okay. Our medicine.
Should have just did a lesser crime for that.
Well, I'm just saying, he could get his medicine.
By the way, people do commit crimes once they are released from custody or being in prison because they can't handle being out in normal life, in the real world. Yeah. Think soldiers do that. They go in combat, they're going to get released from the military and they re-enlist. They're not ready to come back to normal society. Yeah. It is bullshit, isn't it? They get 3 square meals a day. They get heat. They get air conditioning. They get health care. They get education. All paid for by you.
All right, here's another situation.
Oh, I gave you the spoils down at the bottom, whatever.
This is actually factually true.
Tough call, huh? Does someone's right to protest trump someone's right to go to work, to run their business? And by the way, if I did not have this little factoid there, the fact that this is exactly what Martin Luther King Jr. did during the Civil Rights Movement, what would you think? Because what is happening today and what has been happening in our country frequently over the last 10 plus years? Yeah. Occupy Wall Street. Yeah, that was a paid for group. That was not even a real, like a natural protest. Most of these protests that you hear about, the people that are there are getting paid to protest. Because there are people who want to disrupt the lives of everyday average Americans. So the question for you is, if you're trying to get to college, get to campus, because you have class,
and there's a protest out on the street blocking your entrance, would that impact you? And would you be happy about it? Or are we going to sit back and be cause specific? So if we're going to participate, what's the laugh? Oh, the No Kings protest that are going to take place this weekend. Is that justified because Orange Man bad? These are the questions you need to be asking, because this is ethics, my friends. This is ethics. You dealt with real life situations, and it comes down to, should they? It's not a matter of can they, but should they? Should they do something? And are there consequences? And should we be happy if the consequences are applied? I'll be honest with you, whenever I hear about a protest and I see people getting dragged away in handcuffs, I give a round of applause. Because I know that the police would not arrest anybody actually doing what the First Amendment says. First Amendment says you have the right to assemble peaceably. But you know what you don't have a right to do? Act like a mob. So stand on the corner with your little placards. But don't block the street. Don't smash the windows of buildings. That's people's lives that you are destroying. Think about what happened in Minneapolis during the so-called Summer of Love for the George Floyd protests. The mobs destroyed a majority-minority shopping district. People of color who work their entire lives to get a business up and running saw everything lost because of the mob. People of color were assaulted, killed for trying to defend their businesses and homes. But what about Black Lives Matter? Again, I'm not saying right, I'm not saying wrong. But ethically, these are the types of real life situations that we will experience in our lives. And each one of us has to sit back and think, wow, should I do something? Should I get involved? Should I counter the protesters? Should I just walk away?
That's not, so the joint, the Minneapolis thing, that's more vandalism than
that. Oh, 100%. Looting, arson, so many crimes were committed. And nobody was punished. Because the governor, former vice presidential candidate, Tim Walz, ordered basically all of the state police to stand down. They allowed it to happen. Imagine if it was your home or your business.
My nephew has a restaurant here, and he had to have his employees police his place.
Yeah. Yeah. Did they suffer any damage?
No, because he was very strict in police. So yeah. All the aides went to his restaurant for the entire neighborhood.
Yeah.
And every restaurant on that block was destroyed except for him because they policed it.
Well, thank God. Yeah, thank God. I'm reminded of, there was also LA riots back in the early 90s. And a bunch of colored people went through an Asian neighborhood, like Little Chinatown, and they began looting and pillaging because something happened to a black man at the hands of the police, so they felt it was justified to go and attack Chinatown. Well, there are documented videos, and there really wasn't good video technology back then, of the business owners on top of their buildings with assault rifles. Oh, yeah. Rooftop Koreans, right. Because come hell or high water, they were going to save their business. What would have happened if they had to shoot somebody? Could they have lived with that? Don't know. Don't know. All right, so you do have homework number 3 that I want you to tackle over the weekend. And this is what I want you to do. You're going to now analyze it, ethically speaking.
So I want you to write this down, and we'll go over it, and then we'll call it a class. There are several steps that I want you to engage in. Six, to be precise. So you're going to take the little hypothetical situation I gave you. I gave you two. It's only a paragraph. They're not that long. And I want you to do this analysis. Now, FYI, ethics are based on your opinion. I'm not going to judge you. So say what you think is right. Okay? Like everything. What are the most important facts? So kind of understand the gist of what's going on in that situation. All right? But again, facts. We're not listening to hearsay or rumors or anything like that. You're only getting the facts from those people who are directly involved. You don't want to hear anyone else's side of the story, because if they were not there, that's just conjecture. That's their opinion. And what's the other side? Because there's an old saying, it takes two to tango. It takes two to tango. By the way, you don't need to write down the black, just write down the red. Yeah, I'm just kind of explaining it. Then, once you figure out what happened, who's involved, what they did, what's at stake? What's the issue? You know, if it's me selling you my car for $1,000 because you can only afford $1,000 and my car is worth $1,000, is there an issue with that? You want a car, you have $1,000 to spend, I sell you a car that's worth $1,000. Is there an issue? No, it's not. That's a sale. There's nothing wrong with that. But if I need to threaten to blow up a bank to get my medicine, that's an issue. But here you go. Look at the whole situation. Because sometimes there are more issues in a situation than a single one. Third thing, who are the stakeholders? And by the way, it's not always just the two people in the fact pattern. So if you're threatening to sue a company for $1 billion because you're claiming their product killed you, and that company is found liable and has to pay $1 billion, and suddenly 1,000 employees are out of their job, would that change your thinking if you knew the consequences? Are there any alternatives? You know, maybe if they did something a little different, they would have gotten a different outcome. Ooh, and here's a big one. What are the ethical implications of each alternative? So if you find 10 different possible outcomes, you have to think this. Is what you're suggesting legal? Are you telling people to make a product to make more money, to keep your employees fed, even if it causes people to get fat? Like McDonald's. But is that illegal? Might be unethical. But is it illegal? No. What would happen if all of the dirty little secrets were made transparent? All of those little skeletons in the closet. What the heck was that movie? Supersize Me? Was that the documentary that talked about how McDonald's makes its food? Have any of you watched that? Do you still go to McDonald's? Oh, God! Just for the fries. Have you ever gone overseas, Carol?
Yeah.
Have you had McDonald's in another country?
No.
It's different. It's so much better.
Yeah.
So much better, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Fast food. Any fast food.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's what Bobby Kennedy's trying to do. You know, make America healthy again. He's trying to basically have American companies who make food held to the same standards that are found other countries on the planet. You know that if you buy anything that's prepackaged, they actually put chemicals in it so that way you're not full and you crave more. Evil sons of bitches. What are the consequences? This is always a big one. When you make a decision to do something that's good for you, if you do it that way, are you actually hurting somebody else? And if you are aware that you're going to hurt someone else, does it matter? Should it matter? Big, big questions. For example, what happens if you run a company and you have an incompetent employee? Well, you fire him. He's not going to be able to pay his bills. He may lose his apartment. His girlfriend may dump him for being a jobless loser. But what happens if work production goes up for the rest of your employees? Should you feel bad? I'll tell you. I haven't spent much time in management, but I did manage a warehouse back in my younger days. I had 20 employees underneath me. I hired a bunch of good employees, and some of them turned out to be bad employees. And if you've never had to fire anybody, it's not easy to do. It's really not. But I did fire people. And interestingly enough, I fired a couple of people for the wrong reasons. It turned out I kept the employee that was doing the bad thing. But I had relied upon other employees that ganged up, unbeknownst to me, and blamed the lame duck. Said it was that person doing it all. They denied it, but what am I going to do? Five people said it was all Jay, or Steve, or whatever the heck his name was. Doug. I trust five over one, but I made a bad decision. Should I have hired him back? And what would that have done to the morale of the employees? Oh crap, Womanic knows. We were lying. And should you lie about your fellow employees? Tough, tough situation. Got one more. Don't worry about all this stuff. Don't worry about all that stuff. Just gonna find it. There we go. This is the last thing that I want to see. Six different steps. And the last one, so you come up with your alternatives, is more than one right. Just look at this example that I gave. Imagine being the president of these United States of America. You're engaged in a catastrophic world war. The enemy that you are fighting still has 10 million soldiers armed under orders to fight. You have the ability potentially to knock out the enemy with a super weapon. So you say, go for it. And you blow up a city. Hiroshima. And then you expect the leadership of that enemy to surrender. You just turn a city of 70,000 people into glass. And they don't. And they continue to fight. What do you do? You drop another bomb. And you blow up a city of 45,000. Nagasaki. You turn that to glass. And they still don't surrender right away. Could you do it? What if the analysis that was presented to you by your military advisors said that if we actually have to do a landing, a D-Day style landing of the Japanese home islands, that we could suffer up to 2 to 4 million U.S. casualties? And by the way, don't ever listen to any of the hippies that said Truman got bad intel. Study how the Japanese fought when the Americans landed on the island of Okinawa. The Japanese soldiers practically fought to the death. They had like 50,000 soldiers there, only like 3,000 surrendered. So now imagine what would happen if they had to go after the home islands. And if you were president of the United States, could you live with yourself if you, based on your decisions, ended up killing up to 4 million American soldiers? Or would you drop a couple of bombs? Tough choice. Tough choice. But that's life, my friends. So, do those ethical, to this two hypotheticals there. Apply the six standards. Give it some thought. Be creative. We'll go over those on Monday, and then I'm going to give you different perspectives of ethics. And that will be the last information for your test. Okay, wonderful weekend.
I'm going to be here for like either the classes next week.